the Christian and the state. While we are on this planet, we are all citizens of some country, some state, some kingdom, some government. Whether we want to or not, we have got to relate ourselves to the governments, to the states of which we are citizens. And the Bible lays down very emphatic, simple, far-reaching principles. Paul declared that we should render to all their dues. This, of course, is the meaning of justice. Justice is giving to each person his due. Tribute or tax, to whom tax is due. Custom, another kind of taxation, to whom custom. Respect, fear, reverence, to whom fear. And honor, to whom honor. This is true justice. That we meet the needs, the laws, the stipulations, the regulations of the country of which we are citizens. What should be the quality of the citizens in a Christian or heathen state? Part number one. What kind of citizen should a Christian be? First of all, he should remember that he is a citizen of heaven. Our commonwealth is in heaven. From it we await our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. While we are in the world, our citizenship is not of the world. We are not regulated by the laws and the policies and the principles of this world. We are, insofar as they do not conflict with the law of God. We ought to obey laws of God first of all. Now, since our citizenship is in heaven, we are governed by heaven's laws, heaven's policies, and heaven's aims. This is our way of life. And this way of life is a preparation for that which stretches beyond time. We have a Lord, a Master, a Captain, an Elder Brother, a King, who is King of all kings. He is Lord of all lords. He is leader of all armies. He has the kingdom of heaven. And when that kingdom of heaven is established in the Christian's heart, Jesus Christ is commander-in-chief. And while the Christian is still on this planet, he looks to Jesus Christ for his orders. Part number two, love in the Christian commonwealth. As we have already noted, love is the attribute of God that makes and maintains ideal relationships. And this attribute, this principle, he shares with us. So the Christian then should set out, with the help of the grace of God and the direction of the Spirit, to make his relationships as ideal as he can. And these relationships that God gives are reduced to a code in law. And the Christian feels continuously the constraining, directive, disciplining power of divine love, making and maintaining ideal relationships. We gain this love when we gain the Spirit through the new birth, when the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So as the Christian moves as a citizen of this world, he realizes that all the relationships he sustains to the powers that be, to the police, to the government, to the business, to the banking, to the masters for whom he works, to his associates, to the strangers, that he is a loving person establishing ideal loving relationships. Part number three, the state and the ordinance of God. Now, we Adventists have stressed this many times. We've read the relationships of Peter and John to the Sanhedrin, of Paul to the powers that be, and the principle is this, that we keep all the laws of the land wherever we can, whenever we can, as well as we can, except when they contradict and deny the commandments of God. If the state requires us to break the commandments of God, then we must obey God rather than man. But all other regulations, taxes, real estate laws, the laws governing automobiles, and everything else we can think of, that are not infractions, that do not make us compromise our obedience to the law of God, we should sedulously and steadfastly carry out to the best of our grace-filled ability. Part number four, the state requires obedience. It is the Christian's duty to obey the state laws that are not in conflict with the law of God. This is a Christian obligation. He is not in a position to say, I am going to disregard the laws of the state. I encountered some years ago a very obstinate young man who was once hauled in before a traffic court to account for the fact that he had many, many speeding tickets. In fact, he was about to lose and did lose his driver's permit. And he actually argued with the judge that he was under higher laws than the state law and therefore did not have to keep the speed limit. This kind of attitude not only destroys his freedom, but it puts the Christians who claim to believe God's law in a very anomalous position. The Christian should be the most law-abiding, the most meticulous keeper of the regulations of the state in the state. He should be exemplary. He should be an advocate of law and order in the highest sense of that term. It is his duty to obey the laws of the states when they are not in conflict with the laws of God. Part number five, the duality of Christian obligations. Now, when the laws of the state do in fact conflict with the law of God, then the Christian has a clear duty to keep the law of God. We must render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but to God the things that are God's. We ought to obey God rather than man. And this decision should be made calmly and prayerfully before the emergency arises. One day there are going to be Sunday laws that will make the Sabbath keeper break the law of the Sabbath. We should do what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Say to the judge at the time of the judgment, we have already thought this through. We don't need to worry about thinking it through now. We have already made up our minds. We are going to obey God in preference to the anti-God law laws of the state. There are very few cases in which this occurs, but there are some. The state might order us to take up arms to kill. Well, the conscientious Christian says, I cannot kill, and at the same time keep the sixth commandment. I will therefore decide to make my position perfectly clear that I obey God before I obey man, and I will do all to cooperate. So there is this duality. He keeps the law of the state when the law of the state does not conflict with the law of God. He breaks the law of the state in order to obey the law of God when the law of the state contradicts the law of God. Part number six, loyalty to God is paramount. When the Christian keeps the laws of the state, he is loyal to God, because God tells him to do so. Jesus Christ tells him to do so. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Do these things. When the fire department or the police department or the tax department or any of the social service departments or any of the civic regulations come into effect, but do not fight the law of God. Do it with the utmost enthusiasm and loyalty. But always remember that our first loyalty is to God. That we must turn to Him. That we must accept Him. That our citizenship is in heaven and not on this earth. And while we are on this earth, we are as good citizens as we can, but we must be better Christians.